You're listening to a podcast made by University College of Teacher Education, Vienna. Symposium, Transition Inclusion Research, June 9th, 2015. Please listen to Merith Roos, Training Skills in Critical Thinking in Teacher Education in Norway and Sweden.
I'm not going to show you any PowerPoint because I don't like PowerPoints. Because it takes the attention away from the talk and towards the pictures. But I will promise, as I always do to my students, to make a PowerPoint after my lecture. I promised the woman from the university here to send her a PowerPoint after the lecture, and I will do so. And I am going to make a big jump from what we most recently heard from the European perspective and onto a non-European Union country. One of the two grey countries on the map you saw previously. It's Switzerland and Norway, and I'm going to talk about Norway, of course. But we have a very close neighbor, that is Sweden, which is in fact a part of the European Union. And I'm going to present a project that is in fact financed by the European Union through our neighboring countries, Sweden and Denmark, and also Finland, of course. And I'm going to talk about teacher education and something that we are very, very eager about or discussing in Norway, reforms and the reforms of teacher education. And I'm going to present a research project, which is I do together with a colleague in Holmstein, Sweden, where we analyze curriculums from the two countries. Both in Sweden and Norway, teacher education has been subject to comprehensive reforms during the last years. Central governmental documents are forming the basis for these reforms, and in these documents, the task of training pupils' skills in critical thinking is emphasized as an overall aim for teaching processes and education. However, what we think is that a more specific definition of the term critical thinking, also how skills in critical reflection is encouraged in practice, in the classroom and among the students, seems to be lacking in the documents from both countries. In this paper, I will address the question of how far the policy documents give the necessary preconditions for developing skills in critical thinking in schools. The question will be discussed comparatively on the basis of analysis of policy documents as well as on official reports on observations from the outcome of these reforms, both in Norway and Sweden. And I know that we tomorrow are going to discuss our research cooperation. And this is something that I have been discussing with the representatives from the Hochschule in Baden, not at least Stefan, who is not present here today. But the theoretical and methodological basis for our study will be critical discourse analysis, as this is developed particularly by Norman Fairclough and the Austrian Ruth Wodak, among others. This will, in turn, raise questions such as what kind of differences can be highlighted between Sweden and Norway? And can possible differences be related to differences in political climate? If not, what? And thus, the question of how texts communicate to the readers, as well as why they communicate the way they do, will be crucial to my presentation. And as I just said, this paper is part of a larger project aiming to shed light on the mutual relation between practice and theory and teacher education. The project is done in cooperation between Halmstad University College in Sweden and my own University College in Telemark, as well as teacher education colleges in Denmark and in Finland. Our preliminary thesis, because this project is not ended yet, is, however, that policy documents both in Sweden and in Norway tend to be driven by political goals rather than goals emphasizing improvements of skills in critical thinking and education. And I guess that this is also something you recognize from your own countries, because this is something that we think exists on at least a European level. The new millennium was marked by very rapid changes in many parts of society as well as in overall structures. This pertains also to schools, teaching and teacher education. And several of these changes have been incorporated in different policy documents, also in Sweden and Norway. A number of research works point out to a slight correlation between the two learning arenas, practice and theory, in the teacher education program. The students also experience a clear dichotomy between theory and praxis, in the sense that the theoretical training in teacher education is considered very relevant for practical work. We have chosen to divide the study into different parts and related questions, methods, and theoretical concepts. Norma Feklow explains critical discourse analysis as an analysis of how texts work within social cultural practice. Language is thus thought of as a form of social practice. Hence, a discourse can be studied at the micro level. This can, for instance, be seen when students dealing with a specific subject content. This situation is, however, derived from the values in a larger societal context. From a critical discourse analysis perspective, a text can be described, analyzed and interpreted on three levels. A descriptive linguistic level, a discourse level, and a societal level. We will adapt Fairclough's description of the three levels of discourse analysis in my examination of policy documents on the considerance. And I use the notion of institution in a social science sense, which means that institutions are characterized by socially cohesive framework where common convention can be constituted, legitimated, reproduced, and preserved over time. And we ask what kind of linguistic expressions that are used within the framework of the institution at stake. Our assumption is that individuals do not think or act in an institution without affecting what is possible thoughts and actions. The examine and analyze of data consists of the text of different policy documents. It's teacher, role and education, which is from Norway, and a sustainable teacher education, which is Swedish. A qualitative analysis carries out a close reading of the documents with focus on the themes of the respective countries' ambitions for the teacher education. We are now in the process of doing careful close reading, analysis and reanalysis of the documents and performs categories which involves a recurrent returning to the document. So far for us, this implies an attention to the expressive level of the text with an eye to semantic as well as syntax and rhetorical construction. This textual-based study is in accordance with Norman Fairclough's first level, the descriptive linguistic level. Both policy documents in Sweden and Norway are the basis for comprehensive reforms of teacher education. In Norway, the program from 2010 is divided into three stages, and the new Norwegian teacher education and new educational science has a central role. The overall aim of this educational science was to integrate a theoretical educational theory and didactics in order to improve students' preparation for the practice field. It was also emphasized that research as far as possible should be practice oriented. There is also a basic premise that critical thinking should be the basis for school activities. In Norway, a control group has been following the reform closely in order to evaluate it, point to deficiencies, as well as to suggest improvements. The proposal for the new reform of the Swedish teacher education share ideals promoted by the Norwegian document, that teacher education should be an academic training, that training should be characterized by long-term thinking, professionalism, efficiency, and high quality. The future teacher in Sweden should be given a solid foundation for professional life, dependent through continuous professional development. Another starting point is constituted by teacher attraction, and the professional status should be raised. The education is proposed to consist of a new educational science and a number of distinct directions. Two new degrees are proposed to be established, basic teachers and subject teachers. In both the documents, both the Swedish and the Norwegian, we found a proposal for a new educational science where the introduction of traditional pedagogy and pedagogical theories in greater should be directed towards the practice field. In the Norwegian document, it was also emphasized that research, as far as possible, should be practice-oriented. In the Swedish document, it was emphasized that education should be research-based. In both documents, there is a basic premise that critical thinking should be the basis for school activities. The Swedish document stresses the need for skills in three levels: overall perspective, general skills, and specific skills. The new educational science, the overall perspectives, and general skills apply to all future teachers, while specific skills are emphasized to highlight the different skill types and age groups make different demands on teachers' training. The general skills needs expressed in training programs for all common scientific core training, covering a number of areas that all teachers need basic knowledge in. The overall perspectives that will meet teacher education is said to be a scientific and critical approach: historical perspective, international perspective, information and communication technologies as an educational resource. The Norwegian document emphasizes the ideal of the competent and ambitious teacher who is able to develop students' skills in the best positive way. Solid competences in the subjects taught in school is a prerequisite for pride and self-assurance, and it is important to in order to differentiate the teaching properly. Solid knowledge is also regarded to be important to assess pupils' qualification and development in relation to competence goal for each subject. Thus, all teachers should have formal competency in subjects in which they teach. Simultaneously, there is an ideal stating that teachers should be recruited from trade and industry, as well as that outstanding candidates should be offered supervision and leader training. There is also a demand for insight in and knowledge about basic skills, in which oral and written competences, skills in reading, mathematics, and use of digital tools should permeate all subjects. The Swedish document shares the ideal of the competent teacher who shall be able to develop student skill based on the individual student's needs. There is some demand that the Swedish teacher education should give future teachers the ability to make critical and independent judgment and ability to identify, formulate, and solve problems, giving them opportunities to contribute to the development of a school on a scientific basis. Both the Norwegian and Swedish documents emphasize the solid knowledge of great importance to differentiate the teaching and to assess pupils' qualification and development in relation to the goals for each subject. The analysis points so far out that other similarities, such as the demand for teachers' insight and knowledge about basic skills and use of digital school tools in all subjects. There is, however, and this is the important point for us that we are going to go further on, reason to notice that the competence goals for all subjects are oriented according to a standard of measurable goals. We saw the previous presenter, he had a report from PISA. And the PISA report is very, very much oriented towards measurable goals. This is, of course, has its benefit, but it can also have its clear backdrops. In Norway and Sweden, the measurable goals are explicit in both documents. In the continuation of the project, we, my Swedish colleague and I, will argue that the forces of instrumentation seem to have an obvious impact on the education, and that pupils are not any longer measured by academic standards, but by industrial benchmarks. Thus, we will argue, the subject area is not the main focus. It is replaced by skills which are seen as necessities and transferable. This reflects the standard of the Bologna model. In accordance with this, we find that the conclusion of the teacher as a leader is generally marked by an understanding of the teacher as oriented towards instrumentalist goals. As a leader of educational processes, the teacher is expected to communicate clear goals for education, as well as to communicate hallmarks of goal attainment. He or she is also regarded to be active contributors to a professional community of teachers. Further, the professional teacher is also expected to see and understand the possibilities and restrictions of their own competency, as well as to understand the school as a part of the local, national, and global community. The policy document emphasizes that there is a need for teachers with a more specialist knowledge in all subjects at all stages in schools. This is regarded to strengthen the possibilities to adapt education according to the actual conditions. However, we think there is a reason to ask, as we will do in the continuation, whether a teacher who is forced to teach according to instrumentalist goals can be free to open necessary windows to the world, to the pupils. We will argue that this kind of professionalism might be said to be exercised in an instrument serving as a performing agent for different stakeholders. And I will end this presentation by drawing up a possible model teacher who I will expound on further in this project. The model or ideal teacher is a teacher who can fit in different contexts, thereby continuously challenging the established knowledge. Thus, it is a question of recontextualization of knowledge. It is, however, reason to ask to what extent this recontextualization is possible when industrial benchmarks as well as transferable and universalistic skills are used as measurements for the understanding of what a good teacher is. So this is the situation in Sweden and Norway. So I'm not sure if this also what you see in your countries. Thank you.